All right. Grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. For the sake of our recording here. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 1. If you'll stand with me while we read. All right. Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, thank you for allowing us to study your word and giving us opportunities. Lord, thank you for the work that we were able to do yesterday to finish the siding underneath the meeting house. And I just thank you for that. I pray that you'd watch over Amy and her hand, help it to heal quickly. And we just thank you for your blessings. Thank you for each one that was able to make it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So Galatians chapter 3 here in verse 1 through 9 is what we read. And Paul, here he's writing the letter, and he's frustrated with the church here in Galatia. He's saying, you're acting like you're bewitched. You're not acting normal. You're not acting like you are doing the things that you normally would do, right? And he puts the question to them here and said, did you receive the Holy Spirit by your works or by faith? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? That's what he's asking them right here in verse 2. If you begin in the Spirit, why would you look to the works of the flesh or depend on the law? So the message today, that what we're going to talk about, we're going to kind of continue on what we were talking about last week. Last week we were talking about the law, and we were talking about the word of the law or the spirit of the law, right? And what Jesus was teaching about the law. But today we're going to talk about who fulfilled the law. And so right here we're talking to the church at Galatia. Paul is writing unto them, and he's asking them if the Holy Spirit was received by their works, by the things that they did following after the law, or was it by the faith itself? Okay? He's reminding them that Abraham believed God, and that was Abraham's righteousness, right? Right here in 3:6. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, we can turn over and see where that was in Genesis chapter 15. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 15. In verse 6. Genesis 15, verse 6. Actually, let's go up to verse 5. It says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham, here in verse 6, says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So his righteousness, Abraham's righteousness, wasn't because of the actions that he took, right? It wasn't because he sacrificed bulls and goats. It wasn't because he sacrificed rams. His righteousness was because of his belief. We see it again in Romans. Paul tells them, the church at Rome, about Abraham's righteousness. We see it again. James writes about it in James chapter 2, verse 23, and says, "The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So Abraham's righteousness is all tied up in his belief, his faith in God. Okay? The key to Abraham's righteousness, the law or the faith in God, it's by faith. So Paul is saying here, why are you acting like it's by your actions, by the law? So if Abraham was before the law, right? He's before the Ten Commandments. So if Abraham's faith in God is what brought him righteousness, you might say, why do we even have the law? What was the point? Abraham had faith. Moses had faith. Why do we even need the law? Well, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3 again. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." God foresaw that the heathen would be justified through faith. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18 says, In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Abraham believed God. He trusted God. He listened to God. And not just that, he obeyed God. It's easy to obey when you trust. Remember, it comes before obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. So is that seed that God is talking about there in Genesis 22? It says, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." So is that seed of Abraham the nation of Israel? Well, there's certainly a part of Abraham's seed, right? But not the seed that blessed all nations. I mean, really, think about Israel. Israel is wishy-washy. They're backbiters. They're not keepers of the promise that God gave them. We have the cycle of apostasy. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. That's not blessing the future. But there was one who was perfect. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Jesus is that seed of Abraham, through who all nations are blessed. Okay? So, yes, there is seed of Abraham that is the nation of Israel, right? And Moses is part of that. Moses is given the Ten Commandments, and the nation of Israel are God's chosen people. But the seed of Abraham that is to bless the nations is Jesus, the Christ. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, we're going to go up two verses here, says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of of the Spirit through faith. Right? So the promise of the Spirit. Promise of the Spirit. That's what we're looking for. The righteousness, the ability to be able to be close to God, because we are filthy rags. Our righteousness is nothing. We can't get close to God. So how do we get close to Him? Is it by the law that He gave? Maybe so. But what about this? It says, but the just shall live by faith. Well, you have to have faith. If you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So the man that's just, the man that has righteousness, is going to live by his faith. There's nothing that he can do physically. There's no act that he can perform that is going to give him righteousness. Okay, following the law is not going to give him righteousness. Only his faith will do that. The man who is puffed up because he is a follower of the law, which we saw that a lot with the Pharisees, they were puffed up, right? They wanted everybody to see that they were doing the law, shall not have the blessings of God. That man shall not have God's blessing. Only he who lives by faith. Matthew chapter 19. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 19. In verse 16. Matthew 19 verse 16. Says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now this is important here. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? What was the perception here? Okay, in our society, I'm assured that it's in their society as well, the good person is the one that follows the law. The bad person is the troublemaker, or the one that goes against the established rules. So then, at that time, if he was saying, good master, he was saying Christ was a follower of the law. You're keeping the law. He's perfect, right? He's good. We say now, well, oh, so-and-so, he's a pretty good guy. Or she's a good girl. Or he's a good boy. But are they perfect? No. What does Christ say here? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. All right? We know who is the only perfect man. Jesus. And why? Well, why does it say here there's none good but one, that is God?
Yes, it is God.
We have our own God in heaven.
You're right, we do. And you're right, Colby, because Jesus is God. All right, but he said, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, we know that Jesus is perfect and that he's God. And he's the only one. But he makes the point here that only God is perfect. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. But in verse 18, it says, he saith unto him, which, talking about the commandments here, right? Jesus told him to keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now here's where the young man is showing his pride. Doesn't necessarily sound like it, but if you think about what he's actually saying, he's saying that law, all these things I've kept from the time I was a kid. I've done this forever. I've done all that stuff. I'm no problem. He's saying, I don't have a problem with the law. He's claiming the good that Jesus just said that no one except God has. That rich young ruler is saying that he's perfect in that law. He's kept that law. He's just telling Jesus right now that he has kept that law from the time he was a kid. Was he being honest? Murder is when you hate someone or wish them ill. You don't think he ever wished anyone ill? Adultery, lusting after a woman in your mind, is considered adultery. Stealing in your heart is coveting what someone else has. You're wanting to take it. So Jesus knew that there was only one who was perfect in the law, and that was God. Right? There's a reason for that. This young man didn't understand that. He didn't understand the law, did he? He thought that he kept the law from the time he was a kid, but he was completely wrong. He didn't truly keep the law. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't truly considering the law, what Jesus said. He wasn't considering the things that he really needed to do. Jesus hit him where his heart was. His heart was on himself and his possessions, what he had. Jesus is making an example here and telling him, if you truly want to be righteous, then give up what's most important to you. Jesus told him to keep the law in order to enter into life. But wait, Jesus didn't tell him that that wasn't good enough. Okay? Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So even if he did his very best to keep the law, and he did the best that he could possibly do to keep the law, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That is not going to earn him righteousness. Because none are good enough. The just shall live by faith. He has to have faith. He has to believe. Jesus told him to keep the law because the law will lead him to the faith. Okay, that's the problem. That's what this young man was missing. He was missing faith. He didn't have the trust in God. But Jesus told him, he directed him to the law. Why did he direct him to the law if he knew that he needed to have faith? Galatians 3:19. Let's look at that verse. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. God gave the law to Moses because the Israelites were way off of where they should have been. Right? Who is the only person that could save the Israelites? Jesus. Jesus is the only one that could save them. But wait a minute, he's not there. We do see him throughout their time, but he wasn't there physically born of woman, right? He wasn't there yet as their Savior, as their salvation. So God gave them the law while they were looking for Christ. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 22 says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law." Before Christ came, you can't have faith in Christ because he hasn't come yet. They're kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. So that law is going to be pointing them toward Christ. As the Israelites were looking for and waiting for that Messiah, we also, as humans, as people, spend our life looking for and seeking a Savior. We may not do it consciously. There's a lot of people out there that are not saved who deny God. But their soul, their mind, and their soul are seeking, they're longing to be reunited with God. They know. You'll see a lot of these new age people and people that are worshiping crystals and all this other stuff. They know something's missing. They can feel it in their soul. They know they're separated from something. They just don't know what it is. And they don't want to admit that God is what it is. Because if they admit that God is what it is, then they have to follow God's commandments. And that takes the power away from them. Then they no longer have the choice to do what they want to do. They have to obey God if they're going to put their trust in Him. So they don't want to put their trust in Him. They want to deny Him. But that doesn't change the fact that we spend our life from the time that we are conscious of our sin looking for a Savior. God gave the Israelites the law to prepare them for His coming, to show them the way. They had to recognize their faults and the wickedness in their hearts. It's starting to sound familiar? Just as He gives us the law to prepare us. Verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Right? That's what we've been talking about all along. Justified by faith. But the law is the schoolmaster. The law shows us or teaches us where we're lacking. It teaches us the sin that's in our hearts and our minds. Just like this rich young ruler that came to Christ, Christ pointed him back to the law, right? Jesus was God. He's no fool. He knows that this man believes that he's followed the law all his life. So what does Jesus do? He points him back to the law. Because if this man truly considered the law, he would see where he's left. He would see what's wrong with his heart. Repentance before faith. Faith before the water. You cannot have repentance unless you know that you did something wrong. This man that came to Christ didn't believe that he had done anything wrong. He could not have faith in Christ unless he repented. When we talk to a young child, a lot of people will say when a child does something wrong, like a 2-year-old, you've done something wrong, they would say, apologize for what you did. But many times that child doesn't have the capacity to know that they've done anything wrong. We have to point out to them what they did that's wrong. Just like the law points out our flaws, we would have to say to them, you shouldn't have hit that person, or you shouldn't have pushed them, or you shouldn't have taken that toy. Please apologize. Okay, we're pointing out where they made a mistake. Once we recognize our problem, the problem in our heart, then God can convict us. Okay, so it's not enough just to know what you did wrong. You have to be convicted. A criminal is not convicted before the charges are filed. You can't be convicted unless you know what you're being convicted of. Once we're convicted, we come to the conclusion that we can't get out of our situation on our own. When that criminal is brought before the judge, he can't get out of the situation on his own. He can grovel and he can cry and he can beg and he can plead, but it's not going to help. We need someone, he needs someone who will plead his case, our case. We need someone that understands how to talk to the judge, right? How to talk to God, how to deal on our behalf. And that is Christ. This is where we have the opportunity to put our faith in Christ. We trust in him to help us to deal with God. Verse 25 says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He's offered to take our case, to plead before the judge for us. Christ holds the key for us. He's the only one that can get us out of the trouble that we find ourselves in. But how do we receive that promise of Abraham? That righteousness. That righteousness is the promise of Abraham. The salvation. That's what God's promising him. Galatians 3 verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're clothed. We put on Christ. We're clothed in his righteousness. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If we put on the promise of Christ, we're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If we give ourselves over to him, we become his. We become Christ. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So who did God make the promise to? He made it to Abraham and his seed. And we understand that Christ is Abraham's seed. So how do we gain that promise? We have to put on Christ's righteousness. That's the only way. That's the only way we can get it. That's the only way that we can gain it. Through Christ, we gain the righteousness. Not through the law. Through our faith in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Can't do it on my own. Can't do it by being good. Can't do it by being nice by going down to the homeless shelter and giving them bags of Doritos. You can't do it except through Christ. All that other stuff are things that you do because your heart is seeking after God. You want to be like Him. That faith that we gained through the law for Christ brings us, just like Abraham, brings us the righteousness, brings us the promise of God. Not by works that we have done, but by faith in Christ. And Christ is the one who fulfilled the law for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to read your word, to see your word, to understand what you've laid out here. Thank you so much, Lord, for Paul and his ministry, the letters that he wrote to these churches to unfold your word for us, to allow us to see what you meant when you made these promises to Abraham and that his seed would be the recipient of that righteousness, Lord, and the righteousness that you imputed to him and that you allow us to have through our faith in Christ. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today to spend our time to sing hymns and worship you and just to put you first in our life. I pray that we would do it every single day. Help us to focus on you. Teach others about you. Lord, help us to do what's right. Help us to be the one that's willing to sell and give everything we have to follow you. Lord, it's not about what we have. It's not about money. It's not about possessions. It's not about anything else. We can be rich. We can have all the world has to offer. But we should offer it all to follow you. And I thank you for your blessings. Pray that you'll watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.